used to, you know, I said trouble remembering put the new year on your checks. We don't write checks anymore, so it's kind of a moot point there. But, you know, it'll take a few. Kind of started out kind of strange. It was just cool. Just a tree in our front yard Wednesday morning. So, yeah, it was beautiful. So, never seen 2 days of snow one after another since we lived here, so it's been kind of neat. What? First time here. So, there are lots of other places get a lot of snow, but we're not one of them. I had a conversation with my brother in New Hampshire. We've had more snow than my brother in New Hampshire this year. I was giving Terry Dietrich a hard time because she went all the way to Michigan for Christmas so she'd miss the snow. And, you know, but it was fun. Kind of neat at the church, you know, just kind of looked cool. If you look real close, that's not a hat Mary has on. She's got a snow on top of her, you know. So it was just, you know, fell soft and easy and straight down, and, you know, so that Mary was holding some. But it'll be an interesting year. So lots of interesting things coming up this year. Lots of firsts in Arizona. Been lots of furor this week over the town of Sarita scheduling a Satanist group to do the invocation. You know, guys, I've been praying for the town of Sarita at their invocations for years. Ain't none of y'all ever come. So, you know, if it's kind of the first time you're getting excited about it, you know, maybe if you're looking for something to be outraged about, let's be outraged that they're closing churches in China by force. If you want to be outraged, let's be outraged at Christians being killed in South Sudan for their beliefs. You know? America is supposed to be a free country with freedom of religion. If we got freedom to pray, they got freedom to pray. And it's always interesting to me how folks that are the loudest will say it's not a prayer, and yet are the most bothered by them praying. They themselves don't call it a prayer. And I kind of think, just two thoughts I want to give you with that. One of the things is, if your prayer life is so shaky that a 3-minute talk by an atheist will knock you off your prayer life, maybe you and God need to look at your prayer life a little bit better. And the second thing is, they're doing it for attention. So if we give them attention, then we're the ones catering to them, and maybe that's not the best thing to do. You know, seriously, I've been praying for the town of Sarita at their invocations now twice a year for the last probably 10 years. And it's not that big of a deal, trust me. When you pray the invocation for the County Board of Supervisors meeting, you do it right before the animal center does their thing about the dog to give away. And they spend a lot more time talking about their dog up for adoption than they ever do for praying. You know, so if your outrage is borrowed on that, let's get some real things to be outraged on. You know, and I honestly think that what they're doing in China to the churches is much, much more grievous than the town of Sarita avoiding a lawsuit because, like Phoenix is embroiled in, because somebody wants some attention. You know, when a 10-year-old stamps and says he wants attention, you probably best not give it to them. I kind of think we ought to need to not give it to them. But as you look forward to 2019, what kind of things do you see happening in 2019 in your life? What kind of things do you hope to have happen? What kind of things do you hope to have happen in your family? You know, 2018 was pretty significant for our family. We gained a daughter-in-law and a couple of grandkids. That was pretty neat. You know, we're kind of pleased with that. Family's expanding. You know, what do you see happening in your family in 2019? And what do you see happening in this church in 2019? We passed out a survey form, and I hope that you will take some time to think about it, pray about it, look at it. And it's asking three questions. First one is, what would you like to see us continue doing?
That means stuff we're already doing you think is worthwhile and ought to continue. You know, and I think we do a lot of excellent, worthwhile things. What do you think is worth continuing? Second one is, what new things would you like to see? And the third one is, what of those things would you like to be involved with, personally involved, investing of your time, energy, and leadership? And the name there is optional. Now, I want to get these together by Sunday the 20th, because I'm going to share the compilation of the results of those at your annual meeting on the 27th as part of the pastor's report. So if you take some time to think about that and pray about it, and it's like everything else. If your name is on it and you count anybody, it's going to count more than if it's anonymous. If you want it to be anonymous, it's fine. Feel free. You have that right and freedom. But if you want it to be taken extremely seriously, then put your name on it, and it's your call. You get to choose on that one. But what do you want saying? And every time we look at what is God going to do for the future, there's a verse that comes back to me again and again and again, and it's out of Jeremiah chapter 29. And it's after they've been taken in exile. Okay? They lost the war in Israel. They've been taken captive. And they've had their tails hauled all the way across the Fertile Crescent to Babylon. That's like being dragged behind a truck from Jerusalem to Baghdad, Iraq. And they're dumped there in what honestly is like a refugee settlement. And some food thrown their way, maybe some old clothes. And here comes God through the prophet Jeremiah back in Jerusalem telling them what to do. Because Jeremiah didn't make the trip, but he had some things to tell them. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you'll call upon me and come and pray to me, and I'll listen to you. You'll seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes. And I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I've driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from where I sent you into exile. I know the plans I have for you. I want you to look at what God said his plans were. First thing he said is, I will visit you. God had not left them alone. God had not ignored them. God had not forsaken them. God had not turned his back on them. They had just suffered and endured the most degrading situation they could ever even comprehend of. It would be like you and I having lost a battle and being dragged in chains to southern Mexico and released in a village in southern Mexico and told to make do. That's how different and degrading had happened to them. The kind of village that doesn't have hot and cold running water has a communal well that only works sometimes. As electricity that works sometimes. I think our lifestyles would change a little bit
in that kind of situation, God comes and says, I will visit you. I will be there with you. In the Great Commission, he says, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. God is with us. He says that I will fulfill my good word to you. I will fulfill my good word to you. I will keep my promises to you. I'll bring you back to this place. Because he's still talking about Jerusalem. Now, it wasn't any great shakes when he got back there. It was all broken down and knocked around and messed over. Temple that had once been scores of feet high was now rubble, 6 or 8 feet high. But I'll bring you back to this place. Because I have plans for your welfare. Now, that doesn't mean welfare like the government does welfare. Here, give you stuff and stay out of our hair and leave us alone. It means welfare as in faring well. Plans to do well. In the midst of the worst thing that ever happened to them, God says, my plans for you are for you to do well. Plans for welfare and not for calamity. As in, you had enough calamity for a while, you get over that, and it's going to get better. But he says his plans are to give you a future and a hope. You ever despair of the future? Seem like the country going to hell in a handbasket, despair of the future kind of thing? You know, especially if you read the news. Reading the news is depressing, you know. But yet, here comes God that says, I have plans for a future and for a hope. It may not be what we're expecting, but God's plans for us are marvelous. And what's the end result? Heaven's worthwhile. Heard a guy tell me one time, says, you know, this serving God stuff can get kind of tough every once in a while, but the retirement benefits are out of this world. And he wasn't talking about no Social Security. Give us a future and a hope. I dare say a few of our lives have ever been devastated as bad as that group of Israelites. And yet, here comes God saying, it's going to get better. I'm going to give you a future and a hope. And I can hang on to that. That God knows his plans. But then he encourages us to talk to God. He says, then you will call upon me. I want you to imagine what the conversation was on the course of that journey to Babylon. I imagine there are times where they're complaining about the heat or the cold, depending on which way it was at the time. I imagine they're complaining about being in the rain and being wet. I imagine they're complaining about the speed at which they're being dragged, either too fast or too slow. The pain and the indignity of the trip. But he says, you will call upon me. That's different from cursing upon him. That's different from complaining to him. That's call upon the Lord. That means pick up our prayer phone and give him a chat. Call upon me and come and pray to me. It means they'll come and gather together and they will pray. You see, if you have a hope for something better that comes from God, it stands to reason that you will ask God for it to come. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. But come and pray. And then he says, I will listen to you.
You ever felt like you're not heard? You have a teenager in your house? You understand what it means to not be heard? Okay. We've been married over 35 years. The most frequent word in our house is the word what, followed by the word huh. You understand what it means to not be heard? It's amazing to me that we have family where the phone only works one way. Because when I talk to them, they say, you don't call very much anymore. And they don't like it when I say, you don't call never. The phone works both ways. Do you understand what it means not to be heard? And yet here God says, I will listen to you. You listen to anybody lately? Birthday party for my granddaughter yesterday. Talked up a storm. I could not understand a single word she was saying. Her dad had to translate. It was interesting to listen. And God says He will listen to us. He says, you will seek me and find me. Seek me and find me. We have a rule at our house. If it's lost, ask Sandra for it. It just takes a lot less time to ask Sandra where it is than to try and look for it myself. A lot less aggravation. She doesn't get near as frustrated at me tearing things apart looking for it. Just a lot easier to ask. Because if I go looking for it, it ain't there. God says, if I seek Him, I will find Him. That's a good promise. Also means He ain't hiding from me. Like the stuff I try and find in the house that she has hid without telling me where it is. Seek me and I will find you. When you search for me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. I will be found by you. Not a bad thing to say, I'm going to find God in 2019. I'm going to find out what He's doing and I'm going to join Him there. So what are you going to do in 2019? That still sounds weird to say. 2019. You realize the kids that are graduating from high school this year never saw the 20th century? And yet, my grandfather was born in the 19th century. What are you going to do in 2019? Will you commit to following God's plans for your life and for this church in 2019? Will that be a commitment that you are willing to make? I will follow God's plans. I don't even know what they are yet, but as soon as I figure it out, I'm going to follow God's plans in 2019 for my life and for this church. That's the question. I saw a church sign that said, the reason there's a staircase to heaven and a highway to hell is because of the expected traffic on both routes. What do you choose this year? Which route will you choose? Will you choose the route less traveled and say, I will follow God. I will make a difference. My commitment to God for my life will make a difference in who I am in 2019 because I choose to follow God's plan for who I am and for this church. pray. Father, please help us follow you, serve you, to seek you with all of our hearts, and to find you and your work and your way for 2019. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.